Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 125. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
A little bit of a lighter week this week, but, you know, we brought some fun stuff. I saw a movie in theaters, and later on, we'll be talking about, like, our favorite movies of the year so far. We each brought a list of five. I'm interested to see how close our lists are, because there have been some good movies this year, but I don't think there's been a ton of great movies, so... We'll see how this goes. But just started off with, I went to go see, the plan was to go see The Mummy.
Okay.
And, well, that fell through, not because of the reviews of The Mummy. It got bad reviews, and that's fine. I was still planning to go see it, but I actually got lucky, and I got like this small indie horror movie that I didn't think I was going to get. But it did. I did. So it was at my theater. I went to go see It Comes at Night.
Okay.
It's directed by Trey Edward Schultz, whose only other movie is called Krisha, which I have not seen, but I heard it's good. Stars Joel Edgerton in a post-apocalyptic world. The movie, I mean... to be as straightforward as possible in the way I described it to like you and to other people at my work and such, is it reminds me of The Walking Dead without zombies.
Okay.
Also reminded me a lot of that movie and book, The Road, the Cormac McCarthy book.
Okay.
Just like, you know, it reminded me of that, and you know, like that was like a father and a son trying to survive in this super bleak world, and this movie is a family trying to survive in the super bleak world. And it, so that's basically like what it is. And with the lack of zombies, there's also a lack of gore, and there's not a lot of like ultra violence to it. The movie is relying on psychological horror and the horror of the situation more than anything that's going to gross you out or, you know, shocks or scares or suspense or anything crazy like that. It's really trying to get under your skin, and it's trying to engage your mind, kind of.
Is it sort of like there's something to be scared of, but we're not really sure what that creeping dread is? Or
there's a creeping dread to the film, but I mean, let me put it this way. You know, the old saying is there's two types of horror stories. There's the horror out there. There's a monster or something that's going to come attack us. And the other story is the horror is we are the horror. We are the scary ones. And this is in the latter. It's that category.
Okay.
But it's weird because the fear is other people. Right. So that's why it reminds me of The Walking Dead a lot. It's very tribal, right? So like this family is kind of like boarded themselves up in this vacant house, and they're very wary of anyone else that comes around, or, you know, anyone else out there seen as a threat, which kind of, I mean, I haven't watched Walking Dead in a while, but it was kind of a thing in that show as well. Right. Like,
right.
And on top of that, there is, you know, the world's been wiped out by some sort of disease, by some sort of virus. But it's interesting because it never tells you what the virus exactly does. Like, we know it, like, gets you violently sick and maybe kills you, but we never get to see it progress enough to actually kill someone. Like, honestly, for all I know, this is after having seen the movie, it could turn people into zombies. We just never find out. So, like, it opens up very early on. Like, the opening scene of the movie is this family killing their grandpa because he has the disease. They, like, take him out back, and they're wearing gas masks. And they, like, take him to a hole in the ground, shoot him, light him on fire, and walk away. So, like, the movie relies on you to be engaged in the thinking and going, okay, what's going on? So, like, the best I could deduce is, like, it's some airborne virus that you get by being close to someone who is also sick. Because the people in this movie do not wear the gas masks all the time. It only seems to be when they think they're around somebody who could be sick.
Okay.
So it's a simple premise. It's like a family
Yeah.
like holed up in this house in the woods, and fairly early on, they run into another family, and they take them in, and things progress from there. It's fairly, you know, I don't really want to like say a whole ton to spoil it. I think if you use your imagination, you can kind of figure out where it goes. I think it's a fairly short. Yeah, it's exactly, it's 91 minutes. So
it's a nice, nice, quick film.
Yeah, not super long. Didn't feel long to me. I was into it all along. I guess I should get to how I felt about it. I really loved this movie quite a bit. I didn't find it boring. I didn't feel like I needed what the disease was explained to me because I understood that that's not less important than how people react to it. Yeah, like, while it doesn't explain anything, and while there are like slow moments of them just hanging out in the house, I never felt bored because, like I said, it's not that long, and things do happen in it. And yeah, like I said, there's not a lot of like, even when violence does happen, and it does, like, it's not, it barely shows it. Like, you're not going to see any gore in this. I don't know. I'm not sure if you see any blood.
Okay.
The only parts that really feel like straight horror elements are the family, in the family, the son, he has like horrible, bad, like nightmares all the time. And we get to see them. And those scenes are like, you know, super nightmarish and horrific. And, you know, I would imagine, I haven't seen the trailer for this in a long time, I would imagine a lot of like the scary stuff that they show in the trailer are his nightmares.
Okay.
But his nightmares are informed by like the stuff that's going on in the movie. And yeah, there's just like a creeping sense of dread. Like, I do remember seeing one of the trailers, like the camera slowly going towards this red door, and they do that a lot in the movie, and it's unsettling. I think that's how I would describe the movie as a whole. It's like it's unsettling, it's uncomfortable, and you're like kind of on edge wondering, oh, like, when is something terrible going to happen, because you know something terrible is coming.
Sounds pretty
good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Now here's where we get into the very big caveat to that. Like, the movie has a pretty strong Rotten Tomato score, but if you look at the audience score, it is well below that. So the last I checked, I think it was an 86 from critics. Audiences were in the 40s. I want to say 44 the last time I checked.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 44%.
Yeah, it has like a D cinema score, which is like, ooh, that's when they like poll people. Like, and I'm pretty sure that's very bad.
That's terrible. Like, I mean, anything below a B minus is pretty awful. Like, because that's they use that and kind of can gauge like what word of mouth on it's going to be. So it doesn't sound good.
I think my best theory, and believe me, that cinema score and that audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes definitely back up what I saw in the theater. There was a couple in front of us that got up and left 5 minutes before it was over. You sat there for the whole movie, and for whatever reason, they were like,
stay till the end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were. I don't understand. There wasn't like something super offensive happened. We're like, oh, I'm out of here. They're just like, fuck this movie. When it finally did end, the couple to my left, I heard the wife say, yeah, we could have waited for that one for video. Like, like, she was like yelling at her husband. There was a teenage girl behind us who said, wait, I thought this was a horror movie. Like, after it ended, I was just like, I wanted to turn around and scream, it fucking was. Don't fucking, like, it's one of these movies that are going to divide people and start arguments and fights. And honestly, my girlfriend was livid after that. I dragged her to see that movie. She was so fucking pissed that she was like yelling at me the whole way home. And I was like, I didn't make the movie. And I didn't know exactly what was going to be in it. I just, you know, I knew, I wonder going in, that's an indie horror film. And, you know, some people are going to like it. And some people, like I said, going in, I'm like, it might be like The Witch, where like the critics really loved it. And some people, you know, might not necessarily be on board. I'll say this though, dude, it's more straight out a genre picture and more entertaining than The Witch, which honestly did not get as negative a reaction as this. So I'm just like, my best understanding is like people want things spoon-fed to them. Like it's a movie that like you have to show up and not just sit there and like have it explain everything to you and just entertain you and send you on your way. It's a movie you have to sit there and think and be engaged. And I also think that, that sounds like me like picking on the audience, I guess, which I guess a little bit. It's just like it pisses me off when people don't like as a whole, like don't get something that I thought was pretty great. But I think the other part is it was sold as a straight horror film. And it's, I mean,
Yeah.
I think that's probably some of the imagery from the dreams and shit in the trailer. Maybe like people, I think they did, maybe it was a little bit dishonest in how it was sold. But it is a horror movie. I'm sorry to say, people. Like, I don't know. I don't. I could see people not loving it. I totally get like it might not be your cup of tea. Even if you're a horror fan, you might be like, you might see it, Chris, and be like, "Eh, it was all right."
Right.
But I don't get the violently negative reaction that I saw out of people in my theater and just in general. Like, I'm just like, dude, it's not that bad at all. Like.
Right.
And I honestly thought it was pretty dang good. So like, it's a weird one, dude. I was hoping that you would have seen it to see what you're gonna think, because there's no guarantee you're gonna love it.
Right. I was hoping to see it. I just not, did not make it out to the theater, so.
And when we get to like, dishonest and misleading, like I love the title, but it has absolutely nothing.
To do with the film.
I mean, maybe you could stretch it and say like, well, the paranoia comes and gets you at night, because it's a movie about paranoia, partially. Like, it's about how living in a post-apocalyptic world where you can't trust anyone and like resources are super limited, what that would do to your psyche after a while. Like, you'll start to just cling to your family and like hole up and just distrust everybody. And I think that it's an interest. It's an interesting take on it. Like I said, that's not too far off from The Road or The Walking Dead. It's just, in my opinion, unlike The Walking Dead, it's actually good. But I'm definitely, I think, in the minority on this one. But I'm giving it 4 stars, and I'm saying if you're a horror fan, try to see it while it's still around in theaters.
Yeah,
Your mileage will vary.
it doesn't sound like it's going to be in theaters for very long, so maybe try and get out there. I'm hoping I can grab it maybe in the next couple weeks, but we'll see.
Yeah, I want to say if you don't get out by this weekend, you're probably
Probably be
out of
gone.
luck.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not one that you need to see on the big screen. I like to support,
Oh,
I like to
yeah.
support indies as in general, but indie horror, I definitely want to support. And I think this is like a nice little treat in the middle of summer. Like you don't like normally if you get a horror movie in the summer, it's like last year, like Lights Out, which I had fun with, and the audience ate that shit up. I think this
Right.
is a far better movie than Lights Out. But maybe I'm the crazy one. What do I know? But yeah, I give it 4 stars, and I really liked it quite a bit. So, Chris, you saw a horror movie.
I
You have
did.
some sort of thing with this series. I don't know. You saw another Cabin Fever movie.
I did. Which, I mean, it's weird because of that. I like the first movie, and that's about it. But just like Wrong Turn, I keep watching the shit that they put out. So I watched Cabin Fever Patient Zero, or I guess in some territories it's Cabin Fever 3. It does not tie into that the film last year that this came out 3 years ago. It has nothing to do with that remake from last year. It's same basic premise of the Cabin Fever, like the other Cabin Fever movies, where flesh-eating virus in the water. People are on vacation or wherever, and somebody ends up getting infected, and then the paranoia that kind of surrounds that. Well, that's what the first one was, and I thought the first one did a pretty good job. Like, and it also had some pretty good comedic moments in it. But then the next two films and the remake kind of lost all that charm and the scares as well. This is a weird movie. It takes place on an island. Guy's getting married to some rich girl. His brother brings down some of his friends, and they end up taking a boat ride to a remote island. And on that remote island is a research facility that's researching this flesh-eating disease. And they've been dumping the shit out into the ocean as well, which to me makes zero sense. Like once you get shit into the open water, everything, like the way this disease works, like everybody should be dead in the entire world. Everybody should
Yeah,
be dead at
it
that point.
spreads through water,
Yeah.
right?
So like they jump through some like crazy hoops to try and get around that, but anyway, they end up on this island. Chick ends up getting it again. There's a really gross, like, oral sex scene, between her and her boyfriend. Yeah. Yes. Like,
I can picture
really,
what's going to happen in this.
really, really foul. And yeah, it's just like that's it. That's all this movie has is gore. Like. And Sean Astin, for whatever reason.
What?
Yeah. Sean Astin is patient zero. He's
Wow.
like he can't be like he has a natural immunity to the disease. I don't understand what he's doing in this movie. Like,
That's
I
crazy.
guess he needed some work after Lord of the Rings. I don't know. But yeah, he's in this. It's a terrible, terrible film. There's a couple like cool gore scenes, like if you're into that, but that stuff only works when it's, pitted with a movie that, does something with it. Like this is just gore for gore's sake. Like as the scene I mentioned earlier with the oral sex scene, there's also a scene where the one chick, she bludgeons a scientist to death with like a massive black dildo. I don't understand. Like there's like some jokes in there about it. Like I just don't get it. Like it makes zero sense, except I saw exactly where it was going. As they're fighting, and like they kind of frame this dildo in this into the picture, and you're like, she's gonna kill her with that. Like that's what this film is. That's what they think is funny. Like, and that's what they think should happen. It's really bad. I'm glad I got it off my watch list, which was on. It's been sitting on my Netflix like watch list queue for ever now. I'm glad I watched it. And it's gone. Like,
Just to clear up your list a
yeah,
little
just
bit,
to like get it off of there. Like I have a bunch of like probably shitty horror films on there, but I pick one out like once a week and watch one. And this was not a good one.
I think I've had it on mine forever too, but it's probably just gonna sit there forever.
And it should.
Rating on.
I'm gonna go with two. Like, there's like a couple cool gore scenes, but I wouldn't recommend this. Like, I mean, there probably isn't Cabin Fever fans. There shouldn't be, at least.
I like the first one too.
Yeah. The first one is like, there's still some horrifying shit, like all-time horrifying crap in there, like the shaving
Yeah.
scene, and oh, it's disgusting. Like, but yeah. Like this has like it's like oh we have to top that, but for whatever reason, and I mean Eli Roth has been very hit mostly miss, but he's been hit or miss like over the rest of his career. But he captured something in that film that like worked. Like there was a good balance of like humor and gore that was absolutely disgusting and terrifying. But it played well within the confines of that story. And this is like, oh, we should top that. Remember that scene? We should do something worse. And that doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, I, the first one had genuine scares and stuff, like just or the horror of seeing someone like fall apart, you know,
Right.
like it was great body horror.
Yes.
But yeah, I never had any faith that the sequels were any good, but
No, and I mean Eli Roth had nothing to do with all
yeah.
of it. I mean, it that really it should have been a one and done
Yeah.
kind of thing. And what I think anybody like coming out of that, these people that are making these sequels are just looking at it like, oh, people like the gore, but it was like it was how the gore was presented, and it was more like the psychological aspect too, where these people's friends like started turning on each other.
They felt like real characters too, from what
Yeah.
I remember. Like,
Like and here it's just like, oh, it's the slutty chick.
yeah.
It's like, and you, we don't need those. Like that, we progressed past like these caricatures and typical tropes of horror. Like horror's gotten so much better,
Yeah, we demand
even
a little
better.
bit more now. Yeah.
So,
Oh, well. Too bad.
what else we got?
Well, we're gonna do our top five movies of the year so far, but real quick first, one more TV thing. I've been trying to check in with my TV shows as I finish each season. So, you know, last week I told you about Leftovers. I forgot to say my rating for that. I'd give it a 4 out of 5. And this week I have House of Cards for you, which just recently, I want to say it was like May 30th, the new season was put up on Netflix. A lot of people, including myself, were wondering how they would continue the show after the real world got super fucking crazy. They did a pretty good job, and it's kind of eerie how much in this season. It's not like directly commenting on Trump and such, but it does feel like there's some very strong parallels that. Maybe some of them got written in later on as they were working on the season and they saw what happened with our election. But I think some of it was just straight happy accident. So, like, there's no way that they, like, wrote all of this in the last couple months, filmed it and all that. Like, they had to be in production by the time, I have to imagine. But anyways, let me tell you, like, let me ask you if this premise sounds familiar. A president is under investigation for how he got elected into the White House
No way.
and faces possible impeachment.
That seems insane. That would never happen.
Right? And our democratic system is going to be tested for how well it could stand up to this.
Not very well.
Yeah, not very well, both in real life and on the show. So yeah, the show has always been very bleak and cynical, and I guess that paid off here in a way because it does feel topical a lot of it. Like it's definitely never like directly the same thing as what's happening in real life, but just that general vague premise is, I mean, it's pretty close. It's pretty easy for a viewer who's paying attention to politics and which if you watch this show, I would imagine you're into politics for the most part.
Right.
It's pretty easy for someone watching it to draw parallels and you know, make you think about the real world. I think this season is actually one of the more interesting seasons, possibly because of that. But also just, yeah, I mean, maybe like I had more interest in the plot because of how much it reminded me of what's going on in real life. And I think it goes some pretty fun and interesting places in the last couple episodes of it. The show is always like, even now, it does feel a little over the top and outrageous, despite the fact that there are parts of it that are nowhere near as outrageous as what we're watching go on in the real world. It's like even still like I'm even still going, yeah, right, no way that would happen. Even though like I've seen the real world go where I'm just going, no way that could happen, and the real world does it too. So maybe it's not so far-fetched, but like just. I don't know, like the planning and the cunning by Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright almost feels like they're able to like they're playing eight-dimensional chess where they can see like 1600 moves in advance, and you're like, yeah, right, like, and that would never work. And but then I sit there and question and go, maybe it could. I don't know.
Stranger things have happened.
Yes, because stranger things have happened. But overall, it's still well written. It's entertaining if you're into politics and you could handle a show that's mostly people talking a lot. Although I will say that, like, in the second half of the season, the body count is like a fucking Jason movie, where I'm just like, dude, how many
Wow.
fucking people? Like, this is a politics show. You're not supposed to be killing people. I mean, there's always been murders in, like, there is a murder in season one, a murder, not like three or four or five. I'm just like, holy shit, come on. But it's entertaining, and there's some, like, one of the guest stars this season I really liked was Neve Campbell. I don't know, it's good. It's but I think a lot of people out there know whether or not this is their thing or not.
Right.
But this season, I would say it's one of my, it's one I might actually remember. Like, it's funny because each time a new season comes out for House of Cards, I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on in this show? This one might stick out in my mind a little bit more. I'd say it's probably my favorite one since at least the second season. I'm gonna give it 4 stars, and you know, if you're a fan, you've probably checked it out already. But if you know, you haven't watched the season yet, I'm giving it the thumbs up. It's pretty good. They somehow managed to remain relevant in the age of Trump. It's just sad because, like, although there are many, like, one of the things that they try to, and it's obvious that they're trying to draw this parallel to Trump, is they say that Frank Underwood, Kevin Spacey's character, he has no ideology, he has no sort of center, he's just all about winning. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly like Trump. Except the really, really sad and unfortunate thing is that Frank Underwood, Kevin Spacey's character in this, is a million times smarter than Donald Trump. That's the part that's like,
Sad.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like just the difference. Like, despite the fact that he and his wife on the show are completely evil, I would feel safer with them in the White House than Trump. It's the same thing I say about Pence. It's like, I don't agree with anything Pence would try to get done, and he might get it done better than Donald Trump, but I just feel safer with him there than fucking Donald Trump.
Well, yeah,
No
'cause
idea what he's doing.
and for as like shitty as Pence is, he's not a fucking wild card.
Yeah,
Like,
like,
and
he
that's the problem with
respects the
Trump.
office. You know what I mean? Like, at least I would
Yeah.
assume he would respect the office more than Donald Trump, who has. He seems to be like, Donald Trump seems like someone who has no sense of history, never paid attention in school, doesn't care, doesn't respect the Constitution, isn't a patriot, doesn't love our country, and he's in charge of it. And you're just like, I'd rather have a crooked politician in there, honestly, dude,
Right.
at that point. So that's the really sad part. But enough about Donald Trump and or House of Cards. It's time, Chris, to do
Right.
our mid-year report card and you know, say what our favorite movies are so far this year. So you have a list of five.
Do.
Give me your number five there, Chris.
My number five is Life, which is the best alien movie to come out this year.
I have not seen it yet, but that's funny.
It is so we've reviewed Life here. It's about a group of scientists that are on board the International Space Station, and they end up capturing a probe that was coming back from Mars that had a samples like from Mars, and one of them happened to be a life sample, and that thing evolves very quickly and starts wreaking havoc on the space station. Very similar to the original Alien, except in zero G. So it's very derivative of Alien. They obviously pulled a lot from there, but it's a fun movie. I like the characters. I like the setting. I like the monster's a little weird, but it kind of works, I think. The ending is probably the one part, the one sticking point. And some people really love
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I think so.
I remember you telling me about the ending.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I really like this movie quite a bit. And so that's my number five.
Yeah, despite the fact that I don't hear a lot of, I mean, you just kind of gave it a pretty good endorsement, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. I am excited to see it. It's actually number three on my Netflix queue. It's just not out on Netflix yet.
Cool.
My number five is It Comes Out, It Comes at Night.
All right.
So I already discussed that in depth on this episode. I guess the one thing I'll add that I forgot to say while I was doing my review of it is the performances, like Joel Edgerton is very good in it, but I think the breakout performance in this movie is the son. And I'm sorry, I don't have the actor's name, but he's the son. So if you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But he is just very good as this kid that's like plagued by nightmares and who doesn't want to see his family turn into monsters. Yeah, he gives a very good like emotional performance. Like there's parts where he's like crying and begging, you know, his family not to do certain things. Very good in it. So that's about it for my number five. Like I said, I already discussed it. It's not for everybody, but it connected with me.
All right, my number four is it's another horror film, Get Out.
All right.
Jordan Peele's is this his directorial debut?
Yeah,
Or at least big screen directorial debut.
Yeah, I want to say I don't think he directed that kiddie movie.
No, I'm looking right now. He has one. This is the only film that he has as a director credit. Yeah, it's here's we've talked about this extensively on the show, but it's a really good kind of science fiction horror film. There's a little bit of a humor that maybe doesn't fit in places in it, but I think overall it's a really strong film. Some really good acting from a Daniel Kaluuya, who plays Chris, the main character. He's also in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And Allison Williams, who plays Rose, the girlfriend. What I will say about this before we move on is that I recently heard somebody say that this plays out like a 90-minute episode of Black Mirror, and they're probably right.
Yeah,
this would fit really well like in that series, I think.
It's got like that Twilight Zone-y vibe. Yeah. I've also heard people say that about It Comes at Night too. But another performance from that movie that I thought was really good was the father-in-law. I can't remember that actor's name.
I'm drawing a blank.
But as like the quote-unquote liberal white guy who's trying a little too hard to show how cool he is.
Bradley Whitford.
Yes. Who completely is like I know who that actor is, and I did not realize that's who it was watching the movie. He just looks completely different than anything I've seen him in before. But yeah, all around good performances. I do have a few more things to say about this movie, which we'll get to at some point. My number four is Logan.
Okay.
There's a lot to admire about this movie. I think it's easily the second best comic book movie this year. But yeah, like just, I love the R rating and you get the hardcore violence in it, but also it just feels really different from a lot of comic book movies. Just kind of like a road movie. And you know, you really get into the bond between him and this little girl, and it has a very, like hard hitting emotional ending. Like I was surprisingly like affected by it. I think a lot of people in the theater too, like were like, I heard a lot of sniffles at the end of that movie. So it's pretty effective for a comic book movie to get that kind of reaction.
And I can, in some ways, like if you've been a fan of the X-Men, like, and that this run on the movies, like, I mean, outside of Logan being a good movie by itself, like, it is the end of kind of an era for Yeah. Jackman, so.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly the last one he's going to do. I don't think he should do any more after this. I think it wraps him up nice.
Yes.
Like, nicely. There's a lot of things. I have a feeling we're going to be talking a little bit more about Logan, so I'll just leave it at that. It's a really solid movie. Also, a comic book movie done on a smaller budget. How about that?
Was it lower? Cheaper movie?
I would have to imagine. Hmm. There's not that much like super big explosions and stuff going on.
No. Did you say it was the second best superhero movie? Okay. All right.
We'll talk about it. We'll get to it.
My number three is Wonder Woman, which in my mind is the second best superhero movie this year. So I'm interested to see where you're going with this.
We
talked about Wonder Woman on last week's episode. There's not much more to say about it outside of I think it's a nice change of pace. It was something DC really needed. It was an uplifting film. There's a lot of hope to it, which is different than a lot of superhero movies out there.
And life.
Yeah, and life.
And life.
Also, and life in general, yes. Yes. It builds off that hope. It has genuine humor based on, like, the naivety of Wonder Woman herself, of Diana. And that's not present in a lot of the Marvel movies. And it was a breath of fresh air, really, in this genre. And evidently, it has changed the way that DC is going to approach their extended universe. So we'll see. I'm not necessarily on board with them just chasing after, you know, whatever worked, because it doesn't mean it'll work for every character, but it worked here. And it was the first time that I really felt Wonder Woman, that I understood why she is part of DC's big three. So
I said last week when we reviewed it, I thought it's fairly standard, but I do kind of agree with you for the most part. I mean, at the very least, I will give Wonder Woman this. It functions well. Like, it's a good one of those movies.
Yeah.
I just wish it wasn't so standard, like hitting such standard beats, but it was a nice breath of fresh air having that just like positive heroic message to it. Like, hey, do good things no matter what the consequences.
Right. And heroes like can that. Be good. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Heroes can be like pure good. Like, there doesn't need, and I love Batman. And I even like what they're doing with Superman, you know, making him more human. But there is something to be said about a purely good superhero that's not like in a shade of gray.
Yeah, it's something like we talked about this at length last week, but it's something you don't see a lot these days because we're in like a postmodern era where everything has to be some sort of spin on it.
Right.
But when every movie does that, and then you get something like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman ends up feeling fresh.
Yeah. So, even though it's more classic than any of the postmodern stuff. So.
I could totally see how that makes your list. My number three is Get Out. We've already talked about it on your list. It's a very smart, clever movie. That on top of that, I would not have guessed Jordan Peele. Like, could do horror. Like, you don't think of someone that's straight comedy being able to do horror as well as he does here. I guess the only thing I would say, though, is I do wish it had a little bit more bite to the horror aspect of it. Once it finally gets going and we're getting into, like, the action part of it, I kind of wish there was a little bit more. It was a little more vicious, and I've already discussed the ending with you. I wish it had what I imagine is the alternate ending that you can see on the DVD. I have not seen, but I don't like that lets you off the hook at the end. And it's like, oh, it's just the whatchamacallit guy in the car.
Like, it spins and becomes a standard, you know, horror movie ending where it's like, hey, everyone leaves happy.
It's just such a, like, it was a satisfying moment for the audience. Like, it definitely got a reaction out of the audience I saw it with. And even I was kind of like, whew, like, but I didn't want to be let off the hook. I wanted it to be bleak. Maybe it wouldn't have worked as well for most people if it went that. The other route is it was, we're talking around it here, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it was not his friend at the end, right?
That's where I, like, and I've come around on that. Like, I think when I first saw it, like, yeah, that works. And I think it does work for a wider audience. I think they made the right choice. It's, for, like, if you're trying to sell this movie to a big audience, and they did, like, it did great. This the ending that it has works better, but I think that the ending that Jeff and I are you know, twisting around right now, I actually think I would like that more, like, just as a movie, like,
it would be more of a punch. It'd be a statement. Like, the movie is a statement, and at the end, it lets us all off the hook and says, "Wasn't that a fun ride?"
Right.
Instead of going, "No, there's a problem in America, and we really can't like back away, look away from it." I'm just surprised that Jordan Peele didn't stick to his guns on it, or maybe, I mean, honestly, I think at some point it became a money decision, right? Like, because that other ending, I guarantee you, it doesn't make the box office it makes because people walk away in a bad mood.
No, and then we just talked about, like, word of mouth on on films, and I think that's a movie, like, it probably does really well with critics, which it already did.
Yeah,
but like we see probably like a 44-45%, you know, audience rating because they're walking out of that going, that's not what I like. They don't want to think.
It would make people feel bad, you know, and they don't want to feel that coming out of a movie. They just want to go be entertained. So, and I could see all that, but at the end of the day, if you're making a piece of art, man, stick to your guns. I don't know, maybe he did feel that was the better ending, but I don't see how he could, I don't know. I think it works way better the other way, but.
It's almost, I would just like to, like, hear him talk about it. Like,
oh, I'm sure because I did read an interview where he said, like, we thought about doing it the other way, and there is an alternate ending on the disc. I have not seen it, but there is one. So maybe they did totally shoot the way we're thinking it should have ended, and they went against it. But oh well, like, it's still that's like the last shot of an otherwise great movie. So
yeah,
I can't be too mad about it. What do you have at number two there, Chris?
At number two, I have Slight.
Nice.
It is a lower budget sci-fi crime movie drama about a young kid who does street magic, but on the side he slings drugs for a, you know, local kind of drug lord, crime lord, and he ends up getting caught up in some shit that he does not want to be involved in. And he tries to escape, and it ends up getting everybody in more trouble. But the sci-fi side of it comes around. It plays a lot like if Iron Man were in real life and the inner city. So like this kid's like ultra smart, but he's like using it for his own good to protect him and his family, as opposed to like saving people out in, like, as a comic book, like,
yeah,
it's more of a grounded story about like using science and superpowers and stuff like that. It's
and to solve problems in his life,
in his more, life, yeah. And not like, oh, I need to save everybody. It's a very personal story, and great performances by Jacob Lattimore, who plays Bo, he's the lead in it. Sichel Gabriel, who plays his girlfriend, like, they're all really good. The guy who plays Angelo, who's the crime lord, Dule Hill, he's really good. You've probably seen him in a bunch of other stuff. Like, if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, I know this dude. He's been in a lot. It's really well done. I really like it a lot. So yeah, that's my number two.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Hold on a second. It's slight, like
Sleight, like Sleight of Hand.
Okay, I just got to add that to my queue real quick because you told me about it. I finally went and like saw the trailer a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "Yeah, that does look good." And now you have it as your number two, so I'm going to make a point out of this one, but apparently not on Netflix yet. My number two is on Netflix. It is called, this is a mouthful, I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
Okay, yes. Saw this
I
as well.
yeah, I fucking love this movie. Like, it's just, it's wonderfully offbeat. Like, it bounces between like serious crime thriller and like satire and just goofy comedy, like in a way that I like felt refreshing to me. And I just feel like I get Macon Blair's soul or something, like the guy who made this. And just, I mean, there's just scenes in it I just freaking love. Like, I love when, God, what the hell does that mean? Elijah Wood. When Elijah Wood walks into the house with the fucking throwing stars.
Such a great scene.
Like, I was dying laughing at it. And it's almost like played straight or something. Like, it's just so fucking funny how this dude he goes to pull the star out of the wall, and he doesn't have the strength to pull it out of the wall. It still makes me like, I just started laughing just talking about it. Like, it's so goddamn funny. But then it also delivers like really cool over the top violence near the end, like loading shotguns and shit like that. It's like all stuff that's like right up my alley. And I also just love like the larger conceit of it, which is like, why do people have to suck so much? I kind of love that. I love movies where it's like a couple of characters just like looking at the world, like kind of like that one that Bobcat did some years back.
Right.
Can't remember the name of it now, where they go on a killing spree.
God Bless America.
God
Is
Bless
that...
America. Yeah. I think this is a much better movie than that. But I just love that conceit. Like, and because that is something that, like, no matter who you are in the audience, you can kind of relate to. Even if you are a douchebag, you're gonna go, yeah, everyone else fucking sucks. So like, but in this case, it's because people genuinely do suck because people are bad. So like, I don't know. I just love all three of those aspects of it, and just the fact that it's all over the place. I know some people would find that like to be a problem, that it's like it has problem with tone, but I don't know. I felt like this movie got me. So I fucking love I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. It's too bad that like nobody really seems to give a damn about it. So yeah, that's my number two, Chris.
All right, so we'll go to my number one. You have already mentioned this, and I do know where you're going with yours now, but
Yeah.
took me a little bit, but
Yeah.
mine is Logan. It's the only film this year I've given a 5 to. And the only film that came out this year that I gave a 5, so I think I have given
Yeah.
another 5 on a review. But Logan is it's. So good. It's a great tie-up to that, to the X-Men series in general that started with Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman like 20 years ago almost, I think.
Yeah, getting there,
And it just works. It's a film 17 years ago. Like everything about it, like it feels like it takes place in that world, but it is so much more grounded than any of the X-Men films. It ultimately becomes a father-daughter road trip movie. And the relationship between Logan and Laura is really, really, it's fantastic. And she is great. Like, she doesn't have a
Yeah.
whole lot of dialogue in the movie, but she is wonderful throughout it. I loved her. And Hugh Jackman was great as Wolverine, aging, he's fighting off old age and his powers are slowly degrading, but he also stands up and proves to be the hero that Professor Xavier always knew he was. That he's willing to like put his life on the line for others, even when he doesn't have that power anymore. So
Yeah. No, I really liked it as well. I made my list, and it's like, it's just even not as a comic book movie or anything. It's a good,
It's a good movie.
hard R action movie. Really, that's how I think of it. And like the kind of you don't really that was more common anyways in like the 80s and the 90s. And with characters that you care about, so like, I totally see why that would be your number one. My number one is Split. Mostly due to the last 10 seconds or so of it. But I think it's a good
Yeah, it's
movie
really good.
before that. Like if you took away the twist ending, it's still good. I still would have made my list. I think James McAvoy is amazing in it.
Yes.
I really like what's her name? Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep, she's great in this too.
I think she could be a genre star if she sticks with it. Like if she keeps doing like she's done The Witch and this, and I know she did that movie Morgan. But if you stick in that genre, like she could be a real star. And she's really good in it too. But yeah, it's just a fun thriller with some great performance, like a very great central performance from James McAvoy. But the reason it gets so high on my list and the reason I gave it a five. It's the only one I've given a five this year too, I think. Outside of Master of None, which is a show, it's because of the experience it gave me with that twist ending, which I won't spoil here. But oh my God, it's everything I've wanted, or not, you know, it's something I've wanted very badly for a very long time, and I just, there's no other movie that's had a twist like that ever. You know what I mean? Where you don't realize the nature of the movie you've been watching at all until it's over. And I really do need to see it again and watch it with an understanding of what it is. Like to watch it as a comic book movie would be interesting, but I have not yet. But regardless, I loved it a lot. I loved that ending more than anything this year yet in the realm of films. So that's why it's my number one.
I could totally see that. It actually is number six on my list right now.
All right. I was wondering, I was like, man, he didn't like Split. That's the one thing before we leave and close this week out, I just want to ask, I guess, do you think these five movies are going to make your top 10 at the end of the year? Or do you think somebody, if there's any odds of any of them falling off?
I expect some of these to be there. I don't know if all five are, going to be on my top
Yeah, I'd be
10, but
surprised. For me as well, I'd be surprised all of them are there.
because there's a lot of movies I'm really looking forward to
Yeah.
in the next 6 months. So if they turn out as good as I hope they do, I don't know if there's going to be enough room for all of these movies to make my top 10, but there's a chance. I think some of them will be on that list.
Yeah, the reason I just asked that is because I know. You know, there's a lot of movies left to come this year, a lot, and some big ones. You got Star Wars coming, like, you know, just crazy. Like, there's a ton of movies. Like, you know, you got the whole Oscar season, but then you have stuff like Christopher Nolan's movie, just an It remake. But I'm just looking at my list now, and it would like break my heart cutting any one of these five off this moment. So
Yeah,
I'm
it's like if we were doing this 6 months from now and these were, these were the top five, I would not feel bad about it. Like, 'cause these are, the movies we had on these lists are really good.
Yeah, true. But I would also maybe be sad if there wasn't something
Right.
better than Split. Like I love Split, but I, you know,
Also true.
I expect there'll be something that will blow my mind more. At least I hope. Like that's what I hope every time I go to the movies. So, well, yeah, that's our mid-year report card. I'm with Split. Chris likes Logan so far, best this year. Lots of other good stuff in there. As for next week, as I said, I'm gonna have a whole bunch of shows to talk. Well, I get to talk the end of Fargo, and I get to talk the end of Better Call Saul. So, and at the very least, I'll have one movie. I might go see The Mummy, and I don't think there's anything else coming out in the theaters this week that I'm gonna go see. But I'll have one movie, Chris. That have you ever seen this movie? It's called Tomorrowland.
Yes, George
You've seen
Clooney.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it any good?
Eh.
Okay. You know my reasoning is because I'm like in full on Disney world right now. So
I don't hate it.
Okay.
But it I don't remember it reviewing very well, and it's I remember it being long. Like,
yeah, it is. I remember seeing this.
It's fine, I guess.
I like the idea. Like, I heard someone talking about it, about how it's like people used to look at to the future with like wonder and like why do we not do that anymore? I'm like, oh, I like that idea. Like, that's cool, and it's gonna have at least I know a little bit, like it has some tangential like relationship to like Disney World and shit. So I'm interested to see what the fuck this movie is. So
I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about it.
But not entirely terrible.
I didn't hate it, but I will probably
love it.
I wouldn't go out of my way to like watch it again. Like,
yeah, I've never seen it. So get my take on a 2015 movie next week.
All right.
Did you have anything?
I don't. I still want to try and see The Mummy. I don't know if I'm going to get out to see it, and I would like to see It Comes at Night, but we'll see. I'll probably pick all something. Right. I will have some shitty horror film that I picked off my Netflix queue. So
watch some Black Mirror there. There you go.
Yeah, I should definitely do that.
All right. We'll have stuff next week. Something. Some weird random shit for you.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Movie dudes.